Law 46. Never appear too perfect. Appearing better than others is always dangerous, but most dangerous of all is to appear to have no faults or weaknesses. Envy creates silent enemies. It is smart to occasionally display defects and admit to harmless vices, in order to deflect envy and appear more human and approachable. Only gods and the dead can seem perfect with impunity. One of the laws with the most truth and depth to it that you will want to watch to the end to completely understand how it works and why it works. By appearing perfect, by appearing superfluous to mistakes and flaws, envy is created. That is not a question. Whether you see it or not is up to your perception and your intelligence and awareness, but it is created. To ignore this is to ignore the reality of the situation, is to begin your own demise. Once envy eats away at someone, everything you do only makes it grow, and day by day it festers inside him. Eventually, he will attack. Only a minority can succeed at the game of life, and that minority inevitably arouses the envy of those around them, because they are a minority. The majority of people, want these grandiose, tangible things, these grandiose titles, money, wealth, fame, love, happiness, and these come at a cost. Not only a cost of incredible hard work, smart work, and consistent work, but on the result, consequence side of it, envy among many, because you are within the minority. You would be a fool to think that there are not people who envy you because of your success, because of the things you've attained, and I would be a fool to think so as well. Once success happens your way, the people to fear the most are those in your circle, the friends and acquaintances you have left behind. Now, people don't want to admit this. People don't want to see this. People are going to put this to the side because it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to admit that a friend, family member, or acquaintance that you once held so closely, or you once knew in a friendly way, turned. But watching this documentary on Machiavelli, the Prince, and how it was written, and about his life, you come to realize that the game of the reality that we all play and live within, there is the potential for deception within all of us. The potential. So it would be a mistake to ignore this potential. It would be a mistake to feign ignorance for the assumption of goodwill. I hope that makes sense. What I'm trying to say is that a lot of people assume people are inherently good. And what I'm trying to shed light to is that in a situation where you are successful, where you are superficially successful, and you have shown and demonstrated to the world this stature you have created, that there are going to be people who envy you. There are going to be people who now want to see you fall. Now, why is this? Because it reflects within them. Your success, our success, anybody's success reflects upon the next person who observes that very success. Because feelings of inferiority gnaw at them. The thought of your success only heightens their feelings of stagnation. Envy, which the philosopher Kierkegaard calls unhappy admiration, which is a great way to put it, takes hold. You may not see it. You may not see this envy, but you will feel it someday. Unless, that is, you learn the strategies of deflection. Little sacrifices to the gods of success. Either dampen your brilliance occasionally, purposely revealing a defect, weakness, or anxiety, or attributing your success to luck, or simply find yourself new friends. Never underestimate the power of envy. Understand the light in your life is a reflection of other people's darkness in theirs. Some people just don't want to see you fucking win. Some people just want to see you lose. Your success makes them uncomfortable. It's a mirror. Your success is a mirror to their failures, their limitations, their setbacks, and their fucking lazy ass that can't get up and go out and attack this life. That's what your success is to them. And that's a big reason why this envy is created among so many, because we say only the minority can be successful, or are successful. And it's true. And it's because of that. Because if a minority is successful, you're going to have a whole bunch of people that are going to be looking at you for something. They're going to be looking at you in an envious manner. Understand that my people may have the appearance of good intentions and goodwill and positivity and optimism. Great. But appearances aren't always as they seem. Understand that. I'm doing these laws so we can all understand the reality of the context of the society, culture, and time we live within. Don't get fooled. Don't get lied to. Be careful out there, because a lot of people don't want to see you win. I digress. The Medici family were famous for their prosperity and wealth and success in the 14, 1500s in Florence. However, they began with modest origins. They were typical middle-class citizens, not until the late 14th century when Giovanni de' Medici made a modest fortune in banking did they emerge as a force to be reckoned with. Upon Giovanni's death, his son Cosimo took over the family business and quickly demonstrated his talent for it. I have spoken about Cosimo quite a few times among all these laws, and we only have three left right now. This is the third last one, and Cosimo is a great example of someone who has understood the reality of the time, the context to live within, and how to behave within it. His story I'm exemplifying now has a lot to take from. Now, the business prospered under Cosimo's control, and the Medicis emerged as one of the preeminent banking families of Europe, but they had a rival in Florence. Despite the city's republican system, one family named the Albizzes had managed over the years to monopolize control of the government, forging alliances that allowed them to fill important offices with their own men. Now, Cosimo did not fight this. In fact, he gave the Albizzes his tacit support. At the same time, while the Albizzes were beginning to flaunt their power, Cosimo made a point of staying in the background. Eventually, the Medici wealth could not be ignored, and in 1433, feeling threatened by the family, the Albizzes used their government muscle to have Cosimo arrested on charges of conspiring to overthrow the Republic. They exiled Cosimo from Florence, but again, Cosimo did not fight this. He left quietly. Sometimes he knew it was wiser to bide one's time and to keep a low profile. Over the next year, however, the Albizzes began to stir up fears that they were setting up a dictatorship. Meanwhile, Cosimo, using his wealth to his advantage, continued to exert influence on Florence affairs, even from exile. A civil war broke out, and the Albizzes were toppled from power and sent into exile themselves. Cosimo immediately returned to Florence, his position restored, but he saw that he now faced a delicate situation. If he seemed ambitious, as the Albizzes had, he would stir up opposition and envy that would ultimately threaten his business. If he stayed on the sidelines, on the other hand, he would leave an opening for another faction to rise up. Cosimo solved this problem in two ways. Here are the lessons that you can take from it. He secretly used his wealth to buy influence among key citizens, and he placed his own allies, all cleverly enlisted from the middle class, to disguise their allegiance to him in top government positions. Those who complained of his growing political clout were taxed into submission, or their properties were bought out under them by Cosimo's banker allies. The Republic survived in name only. Cosimo held the strings. While Cosimo worked behind the scenes to gain control, however, publicly, Cosimo presented another picture. When he walked through the streets of Florence, he dressed modestly. He was attended by no more than one servant and bowed deferentially to magistrates and elder citizens. He rode a mule instead of a horse. He never spoke out on matters of public import, even though he controlled Florence's foreign affairs for over 30 years. He gave money to charities and maintained his ties to Florence's merchant class. He financed all kinds of public buildings that fed the Florentines' pride in their city. When he built a palace for himself and his family, he turned down the ornate designs that Brunelleschi had drawn up for him and instead chose a modest structure designed by Michelozzo, a man of humble Florentine origins. The palace was a symbol of Cosimo's strategy, all simplicity on the outside, all elegance and opulence within. That is the lesson. When Cosimo died in 1464 after ruling for 30 years, the citizens of Florence wanted to build him a great tomb, celebrate his memory with an elaborate funeral ceremony. But on his deathbed, he asked to be buried without any pomp or demonstration. And then some 60 years later, Machiavelli hailed Cosimo as one of the wisest princes of all, for he knew how extraordinary things that are seen and appear every hour make men much more envied than those that are done in deed and are covered over with decency. Interpretation. Envy is a weed that should not be watered. That was one of Cosimo's favorite expressions. Understanding the power envy has in democratic environments, Cosimo avoided the appearance of greatness. Now, this does not mean that greatness should be suffocated, or that the only mediocre should survive, only that a game of appearances must be played. The insidious envy of the masses can actually be deflected quite easily. Appear as one of them in style and values, make alliances with those below you, and elevate them to positions of power to secure their support in times of need. Never flaunt your wealth and carefully conceal the degree to which it has brought influence. Never flaunt your wealth and carefully conceal the degree to which it has brought influence. Make a display of deferring to others as if they were more powerful than you. Cosimo de' Medici perfected this game. He was a consummate con artist of appearances. No one could gauge the extent of his power. His modest exterior hid the truth. Never be so foolish as to believe that you are stirring up admiration by flaunting the qualities that raise you above others. By making others aware of their inferior position, you are only stirring up unhappy admiration or envy, which will gnaw away at them until they undermine you in ways that you cannot foresee. The fool dares the gods of envy by flaunting his victories. The master of power understands that the appearance of superiority over others is inconsequential next to the reality of it. To me, this means that flaunting superiority and creating an appearance of superiority does not actually change inwards the reality of your power and superiority, but the envy that is created from it can in turn change the power you have because of people's want to see you fall and them themselves playing ways to disguise themselves to make you fall. Of all the disorders of the soul, envy is the only one no one confesses to. Plutarch. Keys to power. The human animal has a hard time dealing with feelings of inferiority. In the face of superior skill, talent, or power, we are often disturbed and ill at ease. This is because most of us have an inflated sense of ourselves, and when we meet people who surpass us, they make it clear to us that we are in fact mediocre, or at least not as brilliant as we had thought. Now that's pretty much exactly along the lines of what I was trying to say, what I was trying to exemplify. Now Robert just happened to put it in a much more eloquent, succinct, different way that will help you understand this law on a deeper level. Now this disturbance in our self-image cannot last long without stirring up ugly emotions. At first we feel envy. If we only had the quality or skill of the superior person, we would be happy. There is no doubt I have felt this many times in my life. There is no doubt I will admit to it, I have felt envy many times. Especially as a young basketballer coming up, I was playing on no talent. I don't really have any talent. I had to use the only talent I had, which was work ethic. And so I would look up to all these people who were better than me and envy them. I'd wish, oh man, I wish I was as good as him. I'd wish this, I'd wish that. No, motherfucker. Shut up. You could not wish all day. You can't do that. That's not going to get you better. But the first step is recognizing that envy is poisoning you. It's how you react to the envy and respond to it. And we're going to get to how you should respond and react in that situation. I'm going to get to it. Because envy brings us neither comfort nor any closer to equality. Nor can we admit to feeling it, for it is frowned upon socially. To show envy is to admit feeling inferior. And people don't want to feel inferior. People don't want to, admit to feeling inferior, especially in front of others, especially in front of others they admire. Now, to close friends, we may confess our secret, unrealized desires, but we will never confess to feeling envy. So it goes underground. We disguise it in many ways, like finding grounds to criticize the person who make us feel it. He may be smarter than I am, we say, but he has no morals or conscience. Or he may have more power, but that's because he cheats. We do not slander him because we praise him excessively. Another of envy's disguises. Or you want a more tangible example? Oh, he's just got a big, strong body because he takes steroids. or he's just really ripped and jacked and really fast athlete because he's got good genetics. No one rewards those excuses, but we reward ourselves with them, because if we do not slander him, perhaps we praise him excessively. Both a disguise of envy. Now, there are several strategies for dealing with the insidious, destructive emotion of envy. First, accept the fact that there will be people who will surpass you in some way, and also the fact that you may envy them. Accept it. It's going to happen. You're a human being. You push down all the emotions you feel, you end up creating chaos within you. Accept it. But make that feeling of envy a way of pushing yourself to equal or surpass them someday. Let envy turn inward and it poisons the soul. Expel it outward and it can move you to greater heights. This is how you deal with any emotion. How you deal with it, how you respond to it instead of react to it, is going to be the determining factor to how far you will go, to your potential. Second, understand that as you gain power, those below you will feel envious of you. It's gonna happen. Accept it. No doubt people are already looking at envious of me because of what I've created. I ain't shit. I ain't... Guys, I love you. I love you so much for taking the time and attention to learn from this and to appreciate my creativity. I'm so appreciative of that. But in the whole scope of things, on this platform, in my life, I ain't shit. But I'm getting there. And I'm really excited for the future, but understand that even though I have this perception of myself, there are going to be many others of me and you that will feel envious. They may not show it, but it is inevitable. So do not naively accept the facade that they show you. Read between the lines of their criticisms, their little sarcastic remarks, the signs of backstabbing, the excessive praise that is preparing you for a fall, the resentful look in their eye. Half the problem with envy comes when we do not recognize it until it is too late. Finally, accept that when people envy you, they will work against you insidiously. They will put obstacles in your path that you will not foresee or that you cannot trace to their source. It is hard to defend yourself against this kind of attack, and by the time you realize that envy is at the root of a person's feelings about you, it is often too late. Since it is far easier to avoid creating envy in the first place than to get rid of it once it is there, you should strategize to forestall it before it grows. It's often your own actions that stir up envy, your own unawareness. By becoming conscious of those actions and qualities that create envy, you can take the teeth out of it before it nibbles you to death. So be conscious before you even have to prepare. It's being aware of your actions and the repercussions of them, of how they will emotionally affect your peers, to protect yourself from a lot of turmoil that may come. Kierkegaard believed that there are types of people who create envy and are as guilty when it arises as those who feel it. The most obvious type we all know, the moment something good happens to them, whether by luck or design, they crow about it, they brag about it. In fact, they get pleasure out of making people feel inferior. You know, we all see this on our social media pages. This type is obvious and beyond hope. There are others, however, who stir up envy in more subtle and unconscious ways and are partly to blame for their troubles. Envy is often a problem, for example, for people with a great natural talent. Now I'm going to give an example that many can relate to. Anyone with a lot of talent, anybody, any type of athlete with a lot of talent, anybody with a lot of talent. And the example I'm about to give, while it's a historic example, mirrors and reflects many of the talented individuals within our music industry, within our sports industry, the writing, books, authors, entrepreneurs, etc., etc. Sir Walter Raleigh was one of the most brilliant men at the court of Queen Elizabeth of England. He has skills as a scientist, wrote beautiful poetry, it was an enterprising entrepreneur, a proven leader, a great sea captain, and on top of all this, he was handsome, dashing courtier who charmed his way into becoming one of the Queen's favorites. Wherever he went, however, people blocked his path. Eventually, he suffered a fall from grace, leading to prison and eventually execution. Now, Raleigh could not understand the stubborn opposition he faced from the other courtiers. He did not see that he had not only made no attempt to disguise the degree of his skills and qualities, he had imposed them on one and all, making a show of his versatility, thinking it impressed people and won him friends. In fact, and made him silent enemies, people who felt inferior to him and did all they could to ruin the moment he tripped up or made the slightest mistake. In the end, the reason he was executed was treason, but envy will use any cover it finds to mask its destructiveness. The envy elicited by Sir Walter Raleigh is the worst kind. It was inspired by his natural talent and grace, which he felt was best displayed in its full flower. Money others can attain, power as well. But superior intelligence, good looks, charm, these are qualities no one can simply acquire. The naturally perfect have to work the most to disguise their brilliance, displaying a defect or two to deflect envy before it takes root. It is a more common and naive mistake to think you are charming people with your natural talents when in fact they are coming to hate you. I'm sure this is a mistake many talented individuals within our society are making every day. Observe it. You might see it more often than you originally thought. A great danger in the realm of power is the sudden improvement in fortune, an unexpected promotion, a victory or success that seems to come out of nowhere. This is sure to stir up envy among your former peers. A lot of people absolutely love to share their successes, their recent victories, to their favorite people, and their favorite people are usually on social media. Social media is where the attention of our society is. So if the majority of people are seeing your unexpected victories and successes that come out of nowhere, then you're going to stir up envy in quite a few people. And this is where Law 3 and 4, concealing your intentions, always saying less than necessary, can come into play, where they can be a tactful way to handle your victories. Because as much as our ego would love to display all these beautiful things that are happening into our life, and while, yeah, we can, but it may be more intelligent to be more strategic about how we place them and where we place them and how often. When Archbishop de Retz was promoted to the rank of cardinal in 1651, he knew full well that many of his former colleagues envied him. Understanding the foolishness of alienating those below him, de Retz did everything he could to downplay his merit and emphasize the role of luck in his success. To put people at ease, he acted humbly and deferentially, as if nothing had changed. In reality, of course, he had much more power than before. He wrote that these wise policies produced a good effect by lessening the envy which was conceived against me, which is the greatest of all secrets. Following de Retz's example, subtly emphasize how lucky you have been to make your happiness seem more attainable to other people and the need for envy less acute. Because fortune and luck comforts a lot of people, because if fortune and luck happens to someone, well, it's out of our control. Now, if something's out of our control, then we are more accepting of it. So if we to attribute the consequence of a positive action, a large degree to fortune, well then the amount of envy we stir up is massively mitigated. But be careful, Robert writes, do not affect a false modesty that people can easily see through. This will only make them more envious. The act has to be good, your humility, openness to those you have left behind have to seem genuine. Any hint of insecurity will only make your new status more oppressive. Remember, despite your elevated position, it will do you no good to alienate your former peers. Power requires a wide and solid support base, which envy can silently destroy. Another tactic. So according to the Elizabethan statesman and writer Sir Francis Bacon, the wisest policy of the powerful is to create a kind of pity for themselves, as if their responsibilities were a burden and a sacrifice that no one else would want. How can one envy a man who has taken on a heavy load for the public interest? What this means is, disguise your power as kind of a self-sacrifice rather than a source of happiness, and you make it seem less enviable, less alluring. Why would somebody want such a sacrifice? People are lazy. They don't want a sacrifice. So emphasize your troubles and you turn a potential danger of envy into a source of moral support and pity. A similar ploy is to hint that your good fortune will benefit those around you. To do this, you may need to open your wallet. Cimon, a wealthy general in Athens who gave lavishly in all kinds of ways to prevent people from resenting the influence he had bought in Athenian politics. He had paid a high price to deflect their envy, but in the end, it saved him from the ostracism and banishment from the city. So give. Giving can mitigate envy because everyone else around you benefits. Now, if everyone else, it's a symbiotic relationship. If everybody else is benefiting from your success, then why would people want to see that success diminish? If they're taking value from your value, then your value and success will continue. To deflect envy, Gratian recommends that the powerful display a weakness, a minor social indiscretion, a harmless vice. Give those who envy you something to feed on, distracting them from your more important sins. Now, I think this is very briefly mentioned in the law, but I think it's quite important. I think displaying your weaknesses and maybe going against Law 30, which is make your accomplishments seem effortless, by making your accomplishments seem less effortless, you can create more humility, I believe, within yourself. An air of more humility. For those who know Brandon Carter, he actually dropped a video that demonstrated this law to its fullest. Now, he created like a 20-30 minute video that just went to talk about all his weaknesses, all his limitations. Now, he called it like Brandon Carter, worst of the fitness industry. Now, I've talked about this in the How to Win Friends and Influence People, one of those videos, but I had to briefly mention it again. I'll leave a link below if you're curious to watch the way he went about it. It was authentic. It was believable. It was real. Great illustration of displaying a vice, a weakness. Beware of some envy's disguises. Excessive praise is an almost sure sign that the person praising you envies you. They are setting you up for a fall. It will be impossible for you to live up to their praise, or they are sharpening their blades behind your back. At the same time, those who are hypocritical of you, who slander you publicly, probably envy you as well. Recognize their behavior as disguised envy and keep out of the trap of mutual mudslinging or of taking their criticisms to heart. Win your revenge by ignoring their measly presence. Win their revenge by being even more prosperous, successful, and happy, is what I wanted to add to it. Robert writes something that I don't 100% agree upon. But he says, do not try to help or do favors for those who envy you. They will think you are condescending to them. I feel like that line contradicts the previous statement of, while the Athenian nobleman we talked about briefly in a short anecdote before, he actually used money and favors to help mitigate the envy that was surrounding him. And Robert here notes, do not try and do favors for those who envy you. So I would just say, be cautious about doing favors for those who envy you, because I think it can help, but on the other hand, I think it can also be a mistake. Finally, be aware that some environments are more conducive to envy than others. The effects of envy are more serious among colleagues and peers where there is a veneer of equality. Envy is also destructive in democratic environments where overt displays of power are looked down upon. Be extra sensitive in such environments. As Thoreau once said, envy is a tax which all distinction must pay. Image, a garden of weeds. You may not feed them, but they spread as you water the garden. You may not see how, but they take over, tall and ugly, preventing anything beautiful from flourishing. Before it is too late, do not water indiscriminately. Destroy the weeds of envy by giving them nothing to feed on. Reversal. The reason for being careful with the envious is that they are so indirect and will find innumerable ways to undermine you. But treading carefully around them will often only make their envy worse. They sense that you are being cautious and it registers as yet another sign of your superiority. That is why you must act before envy even takes root. Once envy is there, however, whether through your fault or not, it is sometimes best to affect the opposite approach. Display the utmost disdain for those who envy you. Instead of hiding your perfection, make it obvious. Make every new triumph an opportunity to make the envious squirm. Your good fortune and power become their living hell. If you attain a position of unimpeachable power, their envy will have no effect on you, and you will have the best revenge of all. They are trapped in envy while you are free in your power. This is how Michelangelo triumphed over the venomous architect Bramante, who turned Pope Julius against Michelangelo's design for his tomb. Bramante envied Michelangelo's godlike skills, and to this one triumph, the aborted tomb project, he thought to add another by pushing the Pope to commission Michelangelo to paint the murals in the Sistine Chapel. The project would take years, during which Michelangelo would accomplish no more of his brilliant sculptures. Furthermore, Bramante considered Michelangelo not nearly as skilled in painting as in sculpture. The chapel would spoil his image as the perfect artist, so he thought. Michelangelo saw the trap and wanted to turn down the commission, but he could not refuse the Pope, so he accepted it without complaint. Then, however, he used Bramante's envy to spur him to greater heights. This is what I'm saying before. He used the envy to go outward instead of destroying him inward. He used the envy to push him to greatness, making his Sistine Chapel his most perfect work of all. Every time Bramante heard of it or saw it, he felt more oppressed by his own envy, the sweetest and most lasting revenge you can exact on the envious. Law 46. Never appear too perfect. Now, this is the longest video I've ever made, so I appreciate it, man. You deserve some type of reward, medal, certificate. I'll be sending that in the mail to you for making it all the way here. You obviously on some next level shit. I appreciate you. If you would like, it'd mean a lot if you could support me on my Patreon page below. Otherwise, I still love you.